45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast present the Fire Chief program starring Eddie Cantor. Even when the thermometer goes down 5, 10, 15, 20 below, Fire Chief Gasoline has the power, the emergency duty power, to fire a cold engine into action in less than 10 revolutions. That's quick starting in any man's language. And when you start rolling, feel and hear how fast your engine warms up, hits its full, peppy stride. You've got something there when you press the accelerator. There are thousands and thousands of motorists in all 48 states who can't be tempted to use any other gas but Fire Chief. Each winter, a greater number of cold weather motorists have switched to Texaco. Fire Chief is all power. You'll find that out with your first tank full, your first step on the starter. Fire Chief costs no more than ordinary gasoline. So for quicker starts that save gasoline and battery, next time try a Texaco dealer. And now here we are at Santa Anita Racetrack with Eddie Cantor.
Jimmy?
Oh, Eddie, I'm surprised to find you at the Santa Anita racetrack.
Yes, I know, Jimmy, but I'm not betting, really.
No?
Look at it. In New York, way back east, they've got cold, they got snow, they got sleet. Look at the weather here.
What?
A typical Bing Crosby day.
I mean?
Sun, 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 sun. Jimmy, you must remember I bought a horse from Pinky Tomlin, and I've got him running here.
Oh, I hope you're not gambling.
No, I'm not gambling, but it looks like everybody else is here in town. Gambling has become a fever here.
You're telling me.
James, many a guy in this town who won't give his own wife $2 for a facial puts $10 on a strange horse's nose.
Well, though, Eddie, men aren't the only gamblers.
Oh, you're right. Women, too.
Sure.
There are plenty of women who have hot poker games in the afternoon and deal out cold suppers to their husbands at night. And my wife, Ida.
Your wife, Ida?
Yes. Saturday, she and I had lunch at the clubhouse here in Santa Anita.
Yes.
She was trying to pick a winner from her program while I ordered a hamburger. The waiter hollered, "Hamburger won!" And without looking up, Ida said, "Who came in second?" I don't know why people gamble when life itself is a chance. Everything is a chance. Every time you start to cross Hollywood Boulevard here, it's an even bet you won't make it. Even standing right here in front of this microphone, we're both taking chances.
No, no, not me, Eddie. You're the only one who sings.
Oh, yeah? I'm just trying to convince you that everything is a gamble, a risk.
I guess you're right, Eddie. Even Ida took a gamble when she married you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. She and I started the game of life with nothing. I took her hand, she saw me, and then raised me five. Yes, sir? But while I'm down here at the track, I'd like to find out one thing.
What's that?
I'd like to find out the name of the horse I bought from Pinky Tomlin.
Say, Eddie, why don't you ask Nicodemus, your stable boy?
Remember? I will. Here he is. Come here, Nicodemus. Come here, Nicodemus, old boy. Come here, Nicodemus.
Yes, Mr. Cantor.
Well, Nicodemus, how is my horse? Have you been getting up to give him those early morning workouts?
Yes, Mr. Cantor. I wake up at 7 on the dot.
Oh, that's fine.
Then I turns over and sleeps till noon.
I suppose you've got the horse all ready for the big race?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nicodemus, I think he stands a good chance of winning. They say he's a dark horse.
The only thing dark about that horse is me.
Gosh, I don't know how to figure that horse at all.
Well, all I know is that he loves racing.
Yeah?
Because it's in his blood.
Well, if he loves racing, why doesn't he run when he gets out there in a race?
Oh, he don't like to run in them. He just likes to watch them.
Well, I certainly like to see him win this race, but I don't know. He hasn't been acting right all week. Nicodemus, you don't think anybody could have doped him?
Dope that horse? Mr. Cantor, you can't dope a dope.
No, but I can boop-boop-a-doop.
That dope stuff is out. Because that horse wouldn't take anything from anybody but me. I have him trained that way.
You mean he'll only eat the food you give him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, suppose I should ever have to get another stable boy. You mean to say he won't take food from him?
No, sir.
That means I can never fire you.
Now you're getting the idea.
Well, look, so far I haven't made arrangements for your salary. How much money would you want?
Well, now, I don't... Well, how much do you get?
Wait a minute. A businessman, huh? I suppose I'll offer you $10, you'll ask for 20, and we'll settle for 15?
No, sir. You'll offer me 20, I'll ask for 30, and we'll settle for 25.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $2.
I'll take it. But, Mr. Cann, I have to have a contract. You see, I was a union stable boy.
Union stable? Well, they say in union there is strength.
Strength?
Uh-huh.
That's the stable boys all over.
Listen, Nicodemus, I bought and paid for that horse, and I don't even know his name.
It's Molasses.
Molasses? Mm-hmm. Why do you call him that?
When you see him run?
Yes.
Then you'll find out.
Nicodemus, tell me, have you found the jockey as yet?
The horse has been interviewing jockeys all morning.
Wait a minute, the horse was interviewing jockeys?
Mm-hmm. A little jockey came in. The horse looked at him, whinnied, and the jockey climbed on the horse's back.
He liked him, huh?
Mm-hmm. Then the same thing happened to a bigger jockey.
He liked him too, huh?
Uh-huh. And then Mr. Renard came in.
I know. The horse whinnied and Renard got on his back?
Oh, no, sir. Mr. Renard whinnied and the horse climbed on his back.
Oh, I'll kill my... Renard, what are you doing in that jockey cap? Why, you've scared Nicodemus. Have you turned jockey?
Well, you have been riding me every Wednesday, so I thought that turnabout is fair play, so I will ride something now, isn't it?
Get away. Do you know anything about riding racehorses?
I do not know anything about it now, but I am sure I will get it in the end.
Oh, I'll bet on it, yeah. Tell me, have you ever ridden before?
Yes, but horses and me don't get along together.
No?
It seems that I'm always coming down when the horse is coming up.
Yeah, well, maybe you should be introduced.
That's where the rub comes in, when we meet.
Who ever heard of a 300-pound jockey?
Look, Eddie, it's on account of being so stout that I know I'll be a good jockey.
Yeah, how do you figure that?
Well, the horse knows that the sooner he gets where we're going, the sooner I'll get off.
Well, that sounds logical. Jack, I'm going to give you a chance.
Goody, goody. I'm going to be a jockey.
Not a jockey. That's jockey. That's jockey. Go on, Icky. And here's the first one to congratulate you. Look, Fifi. Come in, Fifi. Come in.
Hello, everybody.
Well, hello, Fifi. Wait a minute. Why are you laughing, Fifi?
I was just laughing at Monsieur Canard.
Not Canard. It's Renard. Canard is a steamship line.
Well, he is no canoe.
Oh, you know his name. Why didn't you say it right?
Well, if I say it right, I do not get a laugh. And if I do not get a laugh, I am not good enough for you.
Yeah.
And if I am not good enough for you, I must be pretty punk.
Wait a minute. Pretty punk, eh? Well, at least you're half of that. You're pretty.
You are half, too. But I cannot call you pretty.
Tell me, why did you come to Santa Anita? To watch Renard ride my horse?
Oh, yes. I am going to bet $50 on the race. And if Renard wins, I will give him one big kiss.
Hmm.
What happens if the horse loses?
If he loses, I will kiss Monsieur Cantor 10 times.
Wait a minute. You kiss me 10 times if the horse loses? Why?
Just to punish myself for gambling.
Get away. The people who gamble should be punished. You see that fellow over there with the glasses? That's my cousin Leo. What do you think happened to him today?
Oh, tell me, Monsieur Cantor.
He was gambling away his whole family's paychecks this afternoon.
No.
Yes. In the first race, he lost his own pay. In the second race, he lost his wife's pay. In the third race, he lost his uncle's pay. And if I didn't stop him, he would have lost his aunt's pay.
Eddie.
Eddie, if you're going to sing now, I wish you'd do it in a lower key. You know, last week you sang just like a tenor.
Like a tenor?
Yes.
Like I am a tenor. In fact, Jimmy Wallington, I'm through with all this popular song business. From now on, nothing but what tenors sing. Renard, Hand me off a hunk of La Donna Mobile.
La Donna Mobile. Listen, you can't...
Who can't? Renard, I have spoken.
La Donna Mobile, proprio mal vento, muta de centro, e mi pensiero. Sempre una mobile, reggio troviso, in pianto un riso, e menso nero. La donna immobile, fra fiume al vento, muta de tempo.
Rosalie!
My darling, who did that?
Rosalie!
My dream. Since one night when stars dance above, I'm oh, so much in love.
Rosalie!
Have mercy.
Rosalie!
Don't decline. Won't you make my life thrilling and tell me you're willing to be La Donna Mobile, Rosalie.
Driving the other day with Chick Collins, a movie stuntman whose job it is to crack up automobiles. You know, drive them off cliffs for movie thrillers. And in his ordinary everyday driving, I've never been on the road with a more careful, cagier driver in all my life. He passed by several other stations and pulled into a Texaco dealer's for gas. I asked him why. Jimmy, he said, Texaco dealers clean my windshield and back window, tell me about my tires, check the oil and water, keep the lenses of my lights clear. And that takes a lot of risk out of driving. Take it from one who knows what a risk is. Daredevil Chick Collins described Texaco Circle Service perfectly. And remember, you too can get everything you need at your neighborhood Texaco dealers. Texaco Fire Chief gasoline for quicker winter starts, and the new free-flowing Texaco motor oil that lasts longer, saves you money. So next time, try a Texaco dealer.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we bring you a 1938 discovery, I'd like to present a little girl whom you discovered in 1937. You made her a screen star, you made her a radio star, you made her very happy, and so right now she sings Gounod's Ave Maria, Deanna Durbin.
Plena, oh, minus ten.
Eddie, listen. Renard should never have ridden molasses.
Why not?
He collapsed.
What, Renard?
No, your horse.
Oh, my horse.
Yes. I had to send for a veterinarian.
Out of my way. Out of my way.
The mad Russian.
How do you do? Eddie Kampfer, I'm the horse doctor.
The horse doctor?
Yes.
3 weeks ago, you were my doctor, and now you're a horse doctor?
My, oh, my. I'm a social climber.
You mad Russian, you're not a veterinarian?
Who ain't? For 20 years, I'm not eating meat.
Get away, you... That's a vegetarian. You are no horse doctor.
No?
No?
Open your mouth and say ah.
Get away from me. Listen, Wallington brought you here to examine my horse. Did you notice anything wrong with him?
Yes, he's got water on the knee.
He has?
Yes, he also has got water on the head and water on the back. But I fixed him.
The horse had water on the knee, head and back, and you fixed him up? What did you do?
I turned off the shower. And you know what else I found out?
What?
Your horse does not get the right kind of food.
Why, that's ridiculous. He gets plenty of rolled oats, plenty of cabbage.
Oats, cabbage, bah! You should give him some roast beef, mashed potatoes, apple pie, and a glass of milk.
You fool! That food is only good for human beings.
You mean it?
Yes, I mean it.
It's only good for human beings.
Certainly, I eat it.
That's no proof.
Wait a minute. Now it's insult. You a veterinarian. Suppose the horse can't sleep. What would you do?
I tell him to read the newspaper.
Wait a minute. He reads you to sleep?
Yes.
Listen, my horse can't read a newspaper.
So he just tells me a fairy story.
The horse can't talk either.
He's a pretty dumb animal, ain't he?
I didn't hire you to educate him. You're here to get him in good shape.
Then I got to take out the horse's tonsils.
I won't let you.
Then I'll take out his appendix.
I won't let you.
Then I'll take out his adenoid.
I won't let you.
Well, I got to take out something. What's Fifi doing tonight?
Stop it. Stop it. I want you to take another look at the horse. Oh, Nicodemus.
Yeah?
Where are you, Nicodemus?
I'm actually leaning against the horse.
Leaning against the horse? Well, bring him in.
I can't.
Why not?
If I move, the horse will fall down.
Now, wait a minute. Did you hear that, Russian? Now tell me, what did you find with my horse?
I found him knitting.
Wait a minute. My horse is knitting?
Yes, he's knitting. He's knitting a rest.
Yep.
You mean it? Yes, I mean it. My, oh, my.
Listen, don't talk to yourself.
Why not?
You'll be surprised at the dopey answers you're going to get. Well, here comes molasses now. Now, look, tell me, why does the horse's head keep drooping?
He just found out what you paid for him.
Yeah?
And he can't look you in the face.
Wait a minute. Can't you see, Russian, the horse is weak? He needs strength.
In that case, I'll have to give him shots of iron.
Yeah? Well, doctor, what do you give him when a horse sneezes?
A gesundheit.
Wait a minute, gesundheit.
Let me ask you something. Is Renard going to ride your horse in the big race?
Yeah, why? Why do you ask?
You want to know?
Yes, I want to know.
Shall I tell her?
Yes, tell me. Why do you ask if Renard is going to ride my horse?
To find out if you got the right dope on him.
Wait a minute. Stop it. Why don't you examine the horse and tell me his condition?
All right, I'll take his pulse.
I'll help you. Here. Here is his left foreleg. Here.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Oh, the pulse rate is very slow. Very slow.
Yes?
I think your Bronco has got a cold.
Wait a minute. My little horse has got a cold?
Yes, I think it's Bronco pneumonia.
Get away from me, will you, please?
How old did you say the horse is?
8 years old.
He's closer to 80.
Wait a minute, you fool. You've been taking my pulse and the horse's pulse at the same time.
How uninteresting. Yeah,
well, tell me, what have you found out?
I'm not sure. Either the horse will have to quit smoking cigars or you'll have to stop sleeping in a damp stable.
Get away from me. And now for this week's discovery in our search for your radio star of 1938. Yesterday, a 13-year-old violinist played for me. Her interpretations of the classics were astounding. In the next few minutes, I think she will win you as completely as she's won me. Little Dorothy Wade. Come out, Dorothy. Come on. Dorothy, I wired Rubinoff to listen in. So go on now and imitate the great Russian maestro. Dorothy Wade. And if you're listening in, Rubinoff, from now on, just imitate Dorothy, huh? Now, for an encore, our little 13-year-old violinist offers her own arrangement of By Mir, Bis zu Chang. Dorothy, you've really made a big hit. You've made, and deservedly. Isn't she a fine talent? Isn't she really? You know, in our search for talent, my friends, we have found out that everybody wants to be discovered. The butler at my house starts singing in the morning. Mothers bring around their own little Shirley Temple. Some of them very cute, all ages. 9, 11, some 26. It's beautiful, really. Come in.
You, Mr. Cannon?
Why, yes.
I'm from Western Union. Here's a telegram for you, Mr. Cantor.
Oh, thanks. Wait a minute. There's nothing on this telegram.
I know. I just wanted you to hear my voice.
Wait a minute. What do you mean? In case you want to get on the radio, young man, you better save up your money and take singing lessons.
Did you pay a lot of money for singing lessons?
Certainly I did.
Then why should I be a sucker, too?
Wait a minute.
Eddie, really, here's a real telegram. Just came in. Go ahead, read it, will you?
Just came in, Jimmy.
Just a few moments
says,
ago.
Says, dear Mr. Cantor, we think your effort to find a new star for 1938 is splendid. Now, all we hope is that Texaco gets the same idea. Look at it. It says, P.S., and while they're at it, let them get an announcer who speaks English. Pulling aside, we've had thousands of letters from people giving us their sincere reaction to the new talent we are bringing to this program. We'd like you all to listen in every week and write us what you think. And next Wednesday night, we have a special treat for you. Have you heard Powerhouse, Twilight and Turkey? Well, the creators of this new style of rhythm, the Raymond Scott Quintet, will be on this program next Wednesday. And now, Renard, a little music. I've got some good news, neighbors. Next Saturday there's gonna be a ball, and I hope you'll all be there at this marvelous affair. Imagine one big hall reaching all the way across the continent from Maine to Frisco Bay. You mustn't miss this great event in honor of our president. Come along and bring all your friends and neighbors to the president's birthday ball. His problem's not so small. We gotta help him help those who are helpless. Even though you cast your vote for Landon, you'll find a welcome for one and all. Republicans and high silk hats will dance with humble Democrats on Saturday night at the president's birthday ball. It's gonna be a grand affair. Even Hoover will be there on Saturday night at the president's birthday ball. The only way to fight infantile paralysis is with money. And so I'm asking you tonight to send a dime to President Roosevelt at the White House, Washington, D.C. We can lick infantile paralysis with the March of Dimes. Send your dime cheerfully and be thankful that you live in a country where you can join an army to protect human lives rather than destroy them. I love to spend each Wednesday with you. Good night.
Tune in again next Wednesday for another Fire Chief broadcast, starring Eddie Cantor. And next time, try a Texaco dealer. Included on this program is by Mere Mr. Shane from Love, Honor, and Behave. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.